Since the Mrs. Green's World Show made its debut over 10 years ago, our tagline has always been, we don't tell you what to think, we just want you to. This upcoming show with Russell Lowes, an author, an activist, and a major force in the clean energy movement, exemplifies our standing commitment to that intention. This is the second of a two-part series about Proposition 127, the clean energy proposition. Stay with us to hear why Russell and hundreds of other activists around the state are strongly in favor of this proposition passing and of the many reasons why they believe it's good for Arizona and good for the planet. I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and we're going to get down to earth and learn more about Proposition 127, and allow me to set the stage. Our intention with this show is to provide clarity on this proposition as an example for what we, the American voters, should be looking at when it comes to all items on our ballots this November, so that we can vote from our values, not just from our political party. We are asking that people put aside their political affiliations for just a bit and start by researching. Don't believe the hype. Educate ourselves, yourselves, on the facts, and then vote. And be careful what your sources are. There are a lot of good ones out there that you can trust that I think are bipartisan. So all we're asking is do your homework and then vote. So Russell, it's really great to have you here. I appreciate your taking the time, and you came highly recommended. So why don't we start with telling a little bit about yourself. Share with us.
Well, thanks
There's
for having
me. Quite a bit.
Yeah, thank you for having me on the show. I have been presenting and writing about Proposition 127 since last spring. I am the Sierra Club Rincon Group Energy Chair. That's the Southern Arizona Energy Chair for the Sierra Club. And I've been the chair since about 2009, have had a background in power plant economics since a few decades ago. I am the key author of a book on the costs of nuclear and coal energy. And this book, Energy Options for the Southwest, Nuclear and Coal Power, was used as the primary document in a public vote against buying into more of Palo Verde. It actually helped stop two of the five planned reactors. So we only have three reactors out there now. And then I've been published in Public Utilities Fortnightly, a utility executive, highly read publication, kind of wonky, and I've done a number of articles over the years in different publications, and done quite a bit of research on different energy options, promoting solar energy efficiency, energy management, energy storage, and bringing that in to replace the old paradigms of fossil energy.
You know your stuff. You've got cred. You've got street cred, and you've got a lot of cred bringing to this, which matters a lot to me and to our listeners, because we really wanted to get someone that knew what they were talking about to do the in favor of Prop 127. So I say again, thank you for being here. So from your perspective, summarize what this initiative is all about. What's it all about?
This initiative would create a situation where the state would go 50% solar by 2030. Now, you'll say, well, doesn't the utility already want to go solar? Why wouldn't they want to go solar? Arizona is only 6% solar at this point. It just is really low.
And it's a lot of wasted sunshine.
So then how does that do that? Well, this initiative, it's required to be a constitutional amendment, because the Corporation Commission is a constitutional body. And I wish they called it the Public Utilities Commission, because it does that, but it also does a number of other things. And they call it the Corporation Commission. But this Corporation Commission is a fourth branch of government in Arizona. It's the only state that has such a strong presence in a fourth branch. And this initiative is all about reshaping what they haven't been doing. Chris Mays, who used to be a Republican commissioner on the Corporation Commission, said if they were doing their jobs, they would not have to do this initiative. But they aren't doing their jobs, so we need this initiative.
They meaning the Corporation Commission?
Right.
Okay.
She said the Corporation Commissioners are not doing their jobs, and they are basically causing this situation where we only have 6% solar when we, at this point, should have like 20 to 30%. And in another 10 years, we really ought to have like 60 or 70%. And this initiative is a little bit conservative in that respect, and it's only going for 50% solar.
And you're calling it conservative.
Yes, so because don't think we could be going much quicker.
Okay, but the constitutional amendment part, let me understand it. It is much stronger then because it will be a constitutional amendment, so there will be compliance. And does it come above the jurisdiction of the Corporation Commission?
Well, it meshes in with their current constitutional mandate.
Got it.
And,
okay.
And because of that, this constitutional amendment, it will stick. It won't be thrown out by the courts. If we tried to do a regular initiative, it would be subservient to the constitutional law and it would be thrown out by the courts. So we are required to do this as a constitutional amendment.
And I know about Chris Mays. She knows what she's talking about.
Oh, yes. She's one of the best.
Yeah. I mean, in this regard, in terms of why a constitutional amendment, because that was perplexing to me as well. So why, from your perspective, always, are the utilities so opposed to this initiative? There's varying degrees of opposition. I think we have some good utilities and some not good utilities at all, and I try not to get into that, but I feel pretty strongly about our neighbors to the north. So why are they against it?
The utilities are against this primarily because they're stuck in an old business model. They are stuck in an old business model that is no longer serving their clients. And they're looking for short-term profit. And so they're making a brilliant decision in opposing this on a short-term basis, but they're making an incredibly stupid decision in opposing this on a long-term basis. Because what will happen is when solar keeps coming down, it is very inexpensive right now. I mean, it's come down to where, like my house, we covered our roof with enough solar to meet our needs, 100% of our needs, for $9,000. And that was 3 years ago, about four years ago now. And to do that in the 90s would have cost over $60,000.
I mean, that's unreal. I mean, is just unreal.
So
from 90,000, did you say 60,000 in the
90s? 60,000 in the
90s. To now?
To 9,000. And now it's like $7,000 to do the same amount of solar. And that's coming down 7% a year, which means in 7 years or so, it'll be half the cost, or 10 years or so, it'll be literally half the cost of what it is right now for solar rooftop.
And explain to me, why is it coming down so much? Is it because more of manufacturing, there's more of it? Why is the cost, I mean, I've noticed it continues to decline in terms of the cost for solars. Is the technology getting better? What is the deal?
I have to say engineers rock.
Okay.
Engineers are really
cool. Like that.
They do really good work. They bring costs of things down. And we projected this cost would come down. We didn't know it would come down this much, but we knew that solar would be cheaper than grid back in 2000. And the utility should have known that too. Around 2002 is when they really had the evidence that it was coming down so radically that it should have caused them to shift their entire business model. But instead, they've dug in. And TEP is right now building more. They're replacing old gas capacity with new gas capacity at the Irvington plant. It's called the Sunt plant. It's also called the Irvington plant here in Tucson. And that's going to cause more asthma. It's going to cause more lung problems, potential deaths. And they didn't have to do that. They could have blended it with solar. They could have blended it with battery technologies, with energy efficiencies. They could have met all the needs of replacing those old units. Instead, they're digging into their old business model, and they're doing the same old thing.
Okay, and I really can't comment on that because it's all out of the purview of this. Because I've talked to them a little bit about it, and they're, of course, if they were sitting here, we'd be point counterpointing it right now. Okay, let's talk about the cost. And I want to read a little bit from Tim Stoller's column in the Arizona Star a little bit ago. And I'm really forthright. A lot of the things that he writes about, I agree. I think he brings up a lot of things that we should think about. And our tagline, we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. He makes me think. I think he did his homework. But again, I'm not an engineer or a solar expert, so I want to read this and have you respond, please. I've done my best to talk with utility representatives, the opponents, and the supporters of the proposition and other experts. I've gone over the studies, I've considered the politics, and I don't think Prop 127 would mean economic or electric disaster for Arizona. So that's on the plus side, but it would probably cost us more. I've concluded, even though advocates of the initiatives are saying it would not, they say it would actually save us money and add jobs. My thought, probably not. That's still a quote from him. So what's your response to that? Is it going to cost us more?
Well, Tim Steller is not an economist, for one.
Okay, true.
Okay, and I mean, I have been projecting costs on energy since like the late 70s. And when I was a kid, I was going into college, and I went into power plant economics. And the costs, how could this increase our costs when solar right now, you've probably been reading in the papers, is their third parties are supplying it for 3 to 4 cents a kilowatt hour. Okay. And so if you back out the subsidy of that, that comes to like 4.7 to 5.7 cents per kilowatt hour. You know what you're paying in your bill is 11 cents a kilowatt hour. How could that increase the cost of energy? And now you can say, well, then the utilities will have to write off a bunch of equipment and they'll try to pass that on to the ratepayers. But why should they pass on something to the ratepayers that was clearly a bad managerial decision, like the rice generators, the gas generators that they're building right now at the Irvington Sunt plant? Why should they pass on the write-offs or, you know, the write-downs of their equipment, like the Cholla plant that they bought from Arizona Public Service? Bad managerial decisions that should have been replaced with solar and energy efficiency and even potentially wind and energy management and energy storage technologies that are available today. And if you blend them in the right way together, they're cheaper than those rice generators. They call them rice generators. They're gas generators.
So is there, I mean, I had a big company at one point, and we owned real estate. And a big part of our, you know, our whole financial picture was amortization and depreciation that affected our bottom line, and we ended up being a publicly traded company. So those, even if they were bad economic decisions, isn't it true that it could really impact their financial positions? And I'm definitely playing devil's advocate as a mm-hmm. business person. Mm-hmm. If they have to write those off or close, you know, if everything changes because they're taking money and the depreciation and their financial picture because of those investments that are legitimate, and then they have to start building up and ramping up solar.
Well, those write-offs will be an upward pressure on rates. But the way that solar is coming down in price right now, literally 7% a year, it will be more than offset by the cheapness of solar, and the utilities will be in a lost situation for a while because they made these bad decisions. They should have been making good decisions since, as I say, about 2002, even if they had more insight earlier. But they have been bucking this trend, this national trend. And what I think is going to happen is by about 2022 to 2027, solar plus battery for your house will be cheaper than staying on the grid. And if the utilities can't manage things properly, then that's going to threaten their solvency. And because they haven't been playing properly, they haven't been a good community steward, the utilities are causing a situation that's going to threaten their own existence. And probably around 2030 or early 2030s, we will see these companies going into bankruptcy unless they start treating the solar providers, rooftop providers, respectably, you know, as a respectable energy source for them, and dealing with them as third-party energy providers. And if they do that and they start making it blend with the community more, then they can become a whole new type of utility that's basically an energy broker rather than an energy producer. And they can be basically accounting for all the energy, shipping it around, and, you know, it can be a very good dynamic utility, set of utilities in Arizona if they do that. But they've been instead fighting this proposition. They should be endorsing this proposition. It's just is a no-brainer. This is a very good thing for Arizonans.
Okay, so I, as an environmental educator and someone who is committed to a sustainable and socially just planet, I always have concerns about low-income families, about marginalized community. With climate change, they get hit first, they get hit hardest. It's harder for them to recover. Just looking at whether it's drought or heat islands or all of the devastation from the hurricanes, it's the poor who suffer. If your second home got ruined, oh well. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, yes. And I have a friend whose friend that happened to, and she said, we're just so blessed because it was our second home in Mexico Beach. And it's tragic because we had it for 85 years, but she gets it that it's not really tragic if it's your only home and it's 100 feet away. It's not a good thing.
Right.
What kind of impact will the passing of the bill, do you believe, will have on low-income families if their rates go up?
Well, on a really long-term macro level, this will reduce the impact of global warming on a large, large scale. And this will cause the impact on the poor to be minimized in that respect. Now, there are going to be problems with the utilities because the utilities have not been managing things properly. As I said, they had, instead of investing in the future, they've been investing in the past. And so then they're going to try to pass off those costs as they write things down to the rate base. And poor people that will be an upward pressure on their bills. But then the impact of global warming in general will be a downward pressure on the costs of human life and the costs of medical conditions and the like. So it's hard to predict how that will all shake out. But in the long run, it will be very, very positive. And this 50% by 2030 will turn into 100% by 2040 or 2050. And then we will have much cleaner air. We'll have a much reduced asthma incidence and all kinds of health-related issues that come from breathing the output from natural gas plants and from coal plants, and even the production of nuclear power. There are 20 steps in the whole nuclear fuel cycle, and 19 of those produce CO2, and many of them are dependent upon oil and coal and gas for electrical and for general mining production.
And it kind of blows me away lately, the frequency with which asthma is mentioned in conversations around climate change. Mm-hmm. And I was at the Global Climate Action Summit, and the mayor of Paris was there. Mm-hmm. You know what her number one topic was? Asthma. That it's at epidemic levels in Paris, and it is because of emissions, I mean, of the pollution, a combination of things. And I just did an article that I was researching for, and it's the seventh leading cause of death in the United States, and expected to get to be more than that. It's supposed to be six. I mean, the projections are the rate at which asthma is increasing is astronomical, and it's
yeah. We can take these negative trends and turn them around, and it takes will. And one of the best ways to get something to turn around is at the polls. One of the best ways to get things to turn around is to create an initiative like this and to really put it into effect in full force and then beat your goals and get to a much cleaner and more efficient, more job-producing system than what we have right now.
And very valid point. So this one is stymies me, and I admit it. Opponents of the bill keep pointing out that there is quite a bit of outside money being poured into the state and have a problem with that. And that kind of perplexed me. I mean, it's because funny. It's like outside money is coming in for everything everywhere, and you don't know who's paying what, and both sides have super funds and super PACs, and it's like, yeah, outside money in politics is our reality until we have finance reform, which is not what this show is about. But what is your response to that, that it's outside money coming in?
Well, they're talking about, like, Natural Resources Defense Council being one of the bigger coordinators of this campaign, and they're talking about next gen, and Tom Steyer is one of the people that helped put that together, and they're talking about that money coming from California, but there's money coming from Arizona too, but then they're ignoring the fact that Tucson Electric Power is owned by a Canadian company. So if you want to talk about money coming from far away, it's much farther than California. And then Arizona Public Service is traded worldwide, you know, as a multinational, essentially, on the level of a multinational. And it's got all kinds of outside money coming to it. So it's a red herring, you know, it's just a made-up issue.
Right, and I say to this, regardless of what your, I've said this over and over, regardless of what, which way you're leaning, mm-hmm. when the ads come on, turn them off. Mm-hmm. Because that's not the way to educate yourself on how to vote. It's unfortunate, yeah. but it is absolutely true. Okay, let's go on to, this bill is really focused on what I would call, you know, electric sector, for lack mm-hmm. of a better word. Yeah. And it doesn't directly cover the big greenhouse gas emission issues, including impacting one of the biggest contributors to greenhouse gas, transportation. So according to at least one study I read, and I did read more, but I picked this one, and it was published in 2017, which is pretty current because mm-hmm. it's still 2018. It stated that transportation accounted for the largest portion, 28%, of the total greenhouse gas emissions for the United States in 2016. So those studies mm-hmm. take long to get all the data out, but it's probably close. Are there ways, will this proposition impact that at all?
Yes, it will, because, well, first off, let me just say that energy in the United States, about 60% of all greenhouse gases are because of our energy sector. And as you said, about 28% of that now is transportation. And then you've got electric, and you've got other subsectors of the energy system. But so energy will be produced by solar, put into battery energy, and it can charge electric vehicles. And this will be a real catalyst for electric vehicles and will cause the state to become one of the number one electric vehicle purchasing states in the United States.
And Russell,
it will really lead us.
I am, Chapman is one of my partners, and when the higher-ups go to any conference on any of their vehicles, they said electric is the car of the future. Every one of those car dealerships, and Chapman owns 27 around the state and in Las mm-hmm. Vegas, and they are mm-hmm. preparing for a very electric future, yeah. and we want to get that electricity from, yeah.
Now, the jobs from solar in Arizona, by the way, are higher than all the jobs from coal, nuclear, gas combined. And so you're talking 8,000 to 14,000 jobs over the last few years per year in Arizona. And that exceeds all the other jobs. And solar is right now only 6% of the entire energy, electrical energy of Arizona. So when that goes up to 50%, I mean, just do the math. This is going to be an incredible job producer. Many are saying that our jobs will increase by well over 15,000 jobs because of this initiative.
And is it mostly in the installation piece? Is that what it is? Or is it a bunch of things?
It's a bunch of things.
Okay.
Yeah, it's in sales, it's in maintenance, it's in replacement.
Got it.
These panels last a long time. There are monocell panels in Phoenix and Tucson that are over 40 years old right now.
Wow.
And so they last a long time, but they do have problems. Occasionally you need to get an inverter replaced or...
Yeah, like you have to get a new air conditioner or a water heater. Yeah.
They're far less maintenance oriented than, say, an evaporative cooler or an AC. Like on our house, for example, when we built had our solar installed 4 years ago, we have done zero to it. And occasionally I'll spray it off with a hose.
Right.
Once every year or two.
Right.
But you don't even really need to do that because the panels are so slippery on the front that the dust mostly just doesn't stick.
In the years that I've been doing this, the changes have been massive, accelerated beyond anything I ever expected.
You know, this is really exciting. We're in an energy revolution now, and we can either speed it up a bit and really capitalize off of it as a state and get a cleaner environment and get a much lower cost energy system, or we can kind of dig in and lag behind some of the other states that are wanting to do this kind of thing.
Okay, I have to take a deep breath because there's some of the opponents say it will not be an increase in jobs, but that data is pretty clearly traceable.
Yeah,
you can get it. It's not
very easy.
It's very easy to find out. You just have to go to a Department of Labor site and find it out. So it's very interesting to me, and that's why I say to people, regardless of your beliefs, where you stand, get in touch with your values and do your homework. And you might end up voting against it. You might end up going for it, but just make an informed decision. That's what we're preaching from the Murphy Darling pulpit. My daughter's been very active in getting friends to register to vote and going through the ballot with them. So it's a really important election, as we all know. Maybe one of the most important questions I think I could ask is, what kind of impact do you believe that Prop 127 will have if it passes on the environment, which is what drives me? What kind of positive impacts do you see, and over what period of time?
Okay, well, let's talk CO2 first, carbon dioxide. Gas plants, they emit about 450 grams of CO2 per kilowatt hour that you consume at your house.
Okay.
Okay, and that's not counting the fracking fields. When you add all that in, it probably is about 1,000 grams per kilowatt hour. It's hard to assess that.
Of CO2 emissions.
Of CO2, yeah, 1,000 grams. Every time you burn a kilowatt hour, like your refrigerator runs for, or your refrigeration system runs for half an hour or even a fourth of an hour, it consumes a kilowatt hour. You are basically emitting about 1,000 grams of CO2 if you were to buy it all from natural gas or fracked gas. Okay, and then the industry calls it fracked gas or fractured gas. And so then if you were to do coal, it would probably be somewhere between 1,000 and 1,500 grams. With solar, it's 20 grams. With wind, it's 10 grams.
Wow.
With energy efficiency, it's 5 grams. So you're talking a massive, massive reduction in CO2 production when you switch over to solar, just in that one realm. And then solar, I mean, there is a manufacturing aspect of solar that does create that CO2, and that's where that comes from. That 20 grams comes from the manufacturing and the dismantling of it. When you recycle a lot of it, but you have to dismantle it, that takes energy.
Right.
And so when you count all that energy, that's the CO2.
Okay. What about, I don't want to foray into this too much, but it is being brought up a lot in the research about people who say nuclear power will be shut down in Arizona if this passes. Do you foresee that happening?
Well, nuclear power is 36% of the state's energy, and this initiative brings us up to 50. And it's kind of a marketplace thing. If we develop thousands and tens of thousands of jobs in solar and energy efficiency and batteries and all kinds of installations of energy management, and it's cheaper than the other options, those options will go out of business. But if it's not, then if nuclear power is so cheap and so efficient, as Arizona Public Service likes to say, then it'll stay in business. But if not, eventually the free market will take it over and we'll move on to more advanced energies.
Interesting. Really interesting response. Thank you for that.
Sure.
Because it is. When you say it was 36 and now it's it'll be at 50%. It'll flip-flop is basically what you're saying. In common terms for me, it's like there's it'll change. The balance will change. Okay, so I really do try to live and breathe preservation of this great planet of ours and live consciously. And I think any consciously living human being knows we are not on a great trajectory as a planet at this point. Okay, maybe aside from some of our leaders in Washington, sorry. when it comes to moving the green needle forward, and if you were the person running the show, if you were the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain, what would you be asking utility companies to do to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, which will help us the most as a survival of the planet, and how quickly? What would you, Russell Lowe's, say, utility companies, please do this and you can still make money, for example?
I would say get our engineers together, because they're some of our best minds, and get people together to promote a blend, a really good blend of energy options. And the real new blend is solar, wind, energy efficiency, energy storage, energy management. And the storage component is very important. All of those components, when you blend them together, they will be cheaper than our current energy, and they'll be less polluting than our current energy, and they will help reverse global warming more than our current energy system does not do that. And so once we go with this new blend, this 21st century blend, we will be in much better shape, health-wise, dollar-wise. The use of land will be much better. There won't be as much mining for coal. I mean, like when you produce that kilowatt hour of electricity, you basically use, if you were to use that all with coal, it would be the size of a grapefruit. So, and the average person in Tucson uses about 750 kilowatt hours a month. That's 750 grapefruits if it were all
right,
from coal.
Right.
With solar, it's a much, much lower impact.
Lower impact. What a thoughtful answer. And I'm sure my listeners know I always have these surprise questions. You were not prepared to answer that, so thank you for that thoughtful response. So thank you for being here. It was great.
Well, thank you.
And I appreciate your answers and the integrity that you brought to the table on answering them, and for what you're doing. It's great to have another perspective, and I really appreciate your taking the time to share the other perspective.
Well, I really hope 127 passes, and I hope people will take a good look at it and cut through the hype of the utilities, realize that they're using an old business model, and vote to move forward with a new set of energy options for Arizona. And jobs will go up, costs will go down, quality of environment will improve radically.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you for sharing that. And everybody, make it a great green day. And I'm going to say this on every show till November 6th. Vote. There's a lot at stake. We did a show with Judy Rich about health care and what's at stake there, education, criminal justice reform. And you cannot hear in my voice that I'm saying to vote one way or the other. What I am saying is educate yourself, get in touch with what your values are, and really think about that ballot. And read The League of Women Voters is a great site for information. And just know what you're going to do, but no matter what, vote, because every vote is going to count. So thanks for being a part of my world. Make it a great, green, intentionally lived day, everybody.